Welcome to this Memorial Day Sunday hymn singing program broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We have a patriotic program planned honoring those who have served or are serving in our military. Please join us now for this special time.
Welcome, everyone. What a wonderful turnout for this beautiful evening to join in this Memorial Day hymn sing here at 8th Reformed Church. I'm going to ask you to stand in just a moment. The flags will be presented. Remain standing for the singing of the national anthem, and then Pastor Harry will have the opening prayer. Squad, everyone rise, please. Detail, proceed.
Pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you for this Memorial Day weekend and all that it symbolizes and speaks to. Thank you for the freedoms that we have that ultimately come from your fatherly hand, but that many paid a supreme price for, that we can do what we're doing even now. We're so grateful for their willingness to serve, those in the past and those that are serving now. And this evening, as we have gathered together, first and foremost, may this service glorify you, because you are the one that we get our freedom from. But thank you for the blessings that we have enjoyed in this nation and how graciously you have dealt with us. And so we give you all the praise. And then we pray, too, that this will be a real tribute to all of those who have served and are serving. We surrender it all to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, your Son. Amen.
Thank you, and you may be seated. It's so wonderful to be here. We were here last year, and I was undergoing treatment chemo and Keytruda, and I was so sick, I don't know how I ever did it, but the Lord is good. And now I'm not healed, but I got a very, very good report that my cancer is in remission. I had it in six places, but we just keep on going one day at a time. So after $1 million later, I'm a little bit weak, and I got curly hair and never had that before. Chemo did that. Anyway, it's just so wonderful for my wife and I to be here to share this, and I want to get to take care of this right off. Those participating tonight, we want to thank them, Harry Copes, for the opening prayer and arranging this program. We met a couple of times, and that went well. Beth Copes, she did design the poster, and we appreciate that. And Terry Groters did all the delivering, brought these to the stores, and we appreciate that. Mayor Steve Moss. Mayor, thanks for being at one of our pianos tonight. And Paul Kirkstra, Paul, where did he go? Oh yeah, Paul, thank you so much. Paul is one of the organists here. And also participating is Corporal Jay Barr, who will be presenting the flowers a little bit later on. And Dave Denauden was gonna be play the baritone tonight, but something happened because he knew he was supposed to be here. And John Veenstra, John, thank you so much, appreciate that. Reverend Howard Davis participated by carrying one of the flags, and he will talk to us a little bit later on about Korea. And Lieutenant Colonel Denny Gillum. Denny, thank you so much for allowing us to have you here again this year. We appreciate that very, very much. He has a program on the radio called Front Lines of Freedom. Front Lines of Freedom is on Wood Radio every Sunday night at 6 o'clock. At 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and sometimes it's played during the week. And we appreciate that. Bud Warwick, Bud, thank you for doing all the work, getting the pianos in place. We appreciate that. And Scott Diekman, thank you, Scott, for arranging the sound. And Jody Baltima, she welcomed us and helped us put all the flags up. And so we're just so grateful that we can be here tonight to share this time together. This is a weekend of remembering all those who not only served and who are serving now, but those who paid the supreme sacrifice so we might enjoy freedom like we have here tonight to worship in this church. So today we honor all veterans, but we also honor the Lord, the Maker, our Guide, and our Redeemer. And we can sing of that in the books in number 517. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. We'll sing the first and the last of number 517.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the blue cross of the suffering, on the earth who set me free, and I will sing of my Redeemer and his love to me.
wonderful, wonderful singing. Turning next to number 805. Number 805. If my people hearts are humbled, if they pray and seek my face, if they turn away from evil, I will not withhold my grace. Both verses of number 805. Number 809. God of our fathers, whose almighty hand. 1 and 4 of number 809. Next to number 434, number 434. Another wonderful hymn. First of all, I learned how to count. Okay. Number, revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of Thine, the first and the last of number 434.
Amen.
Another wonderful hymn, O God, Our Help in Ages Past, number 686. Number 686. And we're going to use this number for the words only because we're going to do this in a different tune, one I think is more familiar. 686. One, three, and six. One, three, and six. God, our help in ages past. That's a wonderful testimony of those who have gone through trials and struggles because we know the Lord is always at our right hand. And I want to share something with you right now. It was about a year ago. On a Sunday afternoon, I received a phone call from Linda Russicus telling me that they had something for me at the evening worship service and be sure to be there. And so this prayer show was presented to me by Linda Russicus, by Barb Ingalls, I'm sorry, and Beth Copes, along with other people. And as soon as when I was doing my treatment, as soon as I would get off the elevator, I would put this prayer show on. And I was walking through the halls, and people would say, "Oh, we love your blanket." I says, "It's a little bit more than a blanket." I says, "It's a prayer shawl, and it was made by the ladies at 8th Reformed Church." And I said, "There's something different about this, because at 8 o'clock this morning, there will be over 100 people praying for me and others going through these severe treatments." And how much I appreciated that was unbelievable. You know, it was like a comforter, like a warm comforter. And for me, it was like God was with me and I was under his wings. I kept thinking of that song every time I'd wear this and walk through, that God was with me and I was under his wings. And that was certainly a wonderful comfort. And I know they make these for other people. And boy, it was sure a wonderful to have and to share that testimony. And then we got off the elevator into this great big room where people were waiting to pick up their cars. And that lady said by the desk, she says, "Oh, there's the guy with a prayer shawl." Because I didn't have time, of course, I didn't take the opportunity to explain to everybody what it was. But the Lord has used this blanket, this prayer shawl, to share the wonderful love he has for us and how he protects us from each and every day. So, gals, thank you so much for allowing me to have that and to share that thing. I appreciate that so much. Okay, and then that wonderful, wonderful song, probably don't even need your books, 147. How Great Thou Art, number 147. Memorial Day is supposed to be the most somber day of the year and deserving of honor for those who not only are serving who paid the supreme sacrifice, but there's disrespect and compromise for the Memorial Day celebration. For some, Memorial Day is 50% off on the mattresses, 20% off on selected products. Check out our savings on the back pages. Nothing is ever said about the veterans and what they've done, and also acknowledging this particular weekend. So no mention of sacrifice of veterans to defend our freedom and our country. And so today we have the lives of those, we honor the lives who have served, and we march forward for those who have fallen before us. We also have the privilege of having Pastor Davis with us tonight, and he's going to share some of his experiences, and he was in the Marines in Korea. Pastor Davis, please.
Good evening, everybody. On the evening of January 20, 1951, I, along with about 1,750 other Marines, boarded a bus at Camp Pendleton, and we drove on down to San Diego, where we boarded the ship. As we boarded the ship, there was a man standing there. He was a Gideon, a member of the Gideons, and he gave to each one of us a little card. And on that card, it said, "The Soldier's Psalm." And the psalm was Psalm number 121. You can go sometime to a Christian bookstore today and see it also where it says, "The Traveler's Psalm." And that is also Psalm 121. For me, it was very fitting, for I would end up serving as a rifleman in Able Company of the 7th Marines once we got to Korea. Serving as a rifleman in combat is not easy physically, and it's not easily mentally either. You're living outdoors. If it's cold, you're cold. If it's raining, you're wet. I got there in the winter time, of course. You got your sea rations, they were frozen. You chipped them out with your bayonet and ate them frozen. You ate snow for water. You slept half the night, 3 hours, then you watched 3 hours, then you slept 3 hours, then you watched 3 hours. Very difficult time physically. I landed February 16th in Korea. I got my next shower about the first week in April. You never took your clothes off. You wore them all day, you crawled into your sleeping bag at night, with everything on, 7 layers of clothing and your winter boots, because you had to be ready to fight because they like to come in at night and do a little fighting. Went back online then after that shower, and I got my next shower about the 2nd of July. Never took your clothes off, wore the same clothes every day, you never carried extra clothes, they were too heavy to carry. Not only physically, but combat is very difficult mentally. You do things which you can't imagine doing. You move sometimes at obstacles where common sense tells you just to stay where you are and not move forward. But you have no choice sometimes, and you have to do that. You see your friends killed. You see your friends wounded severely. It gets so bad that sometimes men break down in the midst of those kind of things because they become so discouraged. I even had a young man in my squad, a squad of 13 of us, got so discouraged he laid his finger on the tip of his rifle and blew his finger off. So he would get out of the position he found himself in. We found our comfort in the reading of that Psalm 121. And we would gather before we launched out in the morning into a day of combat, and we would read Psalm 121. And the word which appeared, this is Revised Standard Version now, the word that appeared six times was the word keep. And in verse 5, it gets very personal. It says, the Lord is your keeper. And in verse 8, it gives you this affirmation that the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. That no matter what happens, God will be there to keep you. We would gather then, either my fire team or even sometimes the whole squad, and we'd offer a prayer. We never prayed that we would not be killed. We never prayed that we would not be wounded. We never prayed that God would help us to survive. We knew that most days of combat, somebody might be killed. Some days in combat, somebody might be wounded. And hopefully, some would survive. We only prayed one thing, that no matter what, we prayed that God would keep us. That was our prayer. When the day's fighting was over, we'd get together again and read Psalm 121. You didn't always know what happened to someone, if they were killed or wounded or whatever. And so we'd pray that they're no longer there. We pray that whatever it was, God would keep them. And then as we got ready perhaps to settle for another night, we would pray simply that God would keep us as well. And our strength was in that. The Bible says, draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. And that's what kept us going day after day. The worst day was a day in May. We started out with 63 Marines in my platoon that day, and ended up with 13. We started out with my squad of 13 and ended up with two of us. And I can still see my good buddy, John Bone, sitting there with me on the edge of our foxhole that night. They pulled us back a little bit. Sitting there on the edge of our foxhole that night, reading Psalm 121 and praying for those of our fellow Marines who are no longer with us, and praying that God would keep us throughout that particular night. And so I want to read Psalm 121 to you. Psalm 121, whenever I preached on this, I would point out that it's a psalm which has encouraged you to pray to God. I will lift mine eyes up to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who created heaven and earth. Encourage you to pray. And then it reminds you, as I've already said, that no matter what, God will always keep you. Listen to this psalm, Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. I was always thankful for that Gideon who gave up several hours of sleep that night to give me and 1,750 other Marines that little card with the soldier's psalm on it, Psalm 121. And it was our comfort and it was our stay in all the hard times of conflict there in Korea.
Thank you, Pastor Davis. That is so interesting, Psalm 121. When we were small kids at home, every morning at the breakfast table, my dad would read Psalm 121 until each one of us kids knew how to recite that psalm by heart. And I can still remember each one of us kids had to take a turn when we finally was able to learn and understand what that psalm really meant. And that's a precious psalm. And thank you for sharing that with us today. What makes a great nation? People. People with a purpose. People who are prayer warriors. And we have the greatest nation in the world. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about things like that. It's found in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. This is what it says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes will be opened and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen this and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. And so we just hope and pray that as our nation moves forward, that they may take under their wings all these wonderful things that we hear about tonight. It's just wonderful, wonderful. Years and years ago, we did the same thing at Lee Street Christian Reformed Church for many years. And there were always people in the audience that I knew, and some that stood out more than others, and there was always a man and a lady that sat on the right-hand side. He was kind of tall. He had white hair. He was a fire chief, Jay Walkus. Of course, he's passed now, but I remember him. But some of the people in the audience I didn't know, and I didn't remember, but many, many years ago, I just found out tonight that Pastor Harry and Beth were also in the audience. And little did they know that we would be here some 35, 40 years later in 8th Reformed Church. Harry, thanks for sharing that with me tonight. Appreciate that so much. Thank you. We appreciate, of course, all the veterans that are here tonight and those who have served and those who have gone on before us, and we will remember those. But right now we're going to, Marianne is going to play all the music of all the service. And when your service is played, you stand up and remain standing, okay? Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, and Marines. So when your song is played, you stand up and remain standing, okay, Marianne? Are you ready? Army is first. Force. Coast Guard and a National Guard. The Marines. Standing. And now I'd like to have all those first responders, police officers, firefighters, on active duty or retired, please stand. And now, if you had a family member, a brother, a father, a cousin, an uncle, or an aunt, if you had those in your family, you stand.
Wow, look at that. Wow.
Thank you very much, and you all may be seated. Let's sing together, God Bless America, the first time, okay? Just one time. Be seated. Turning next, please, to number 804, the battle hymn number 804. Mine eyes have seen the first 1 and 5 of number 804.
His truth is my sinner.
turning next to number 404, Faith of Our Fathers, Living Still in Spite of Dungeon, Fire and Sword, 1 and 3 of number 404.
Faith of Our Fathers.
One thing I failed to mention tonight, this program is also on Jethro Radio, and we're just happy and grateful that they broadcast this night to go out to many, many other people. Turning next, please, to number 808, Eternal Father, Strong to Save. Number 808 will sing 1 and 4 of 808. We are so privileged and honored tonight to have with us Lieutenant Colonel Denny Gillum. We're going to ask him to share it with us at this time. Denny, please.
This getting old thing isn't as much fun as I was thinking it would be. It's an honor to be here. One of the things I enjoyed is singing with you. I'm a West Point graduate, and the first summer that I was there, the basic training part, was interesting. I had two roommates. Tom was from Boston, and Dave was from North Carolina. Now, I'm from Los Angeles, and I had to translate for them. They couldn't understand each other. Then football season came, and I was the first cadet, and only, as far as I know, ordered not to sing even at football rallies. And you all let me sing. Okay, I was up in front where I didn't blast any of you. But let's say I'm in the joyful noise category. My other noticeable thing at West Point is my senior year I wrote a paper. Now, this is in the 60s, early 60s. Typewriters, you may not know what those are. I spelled a word, maintenance, 7 different ways, none of them correctly. That set a record at West Point, which nowadays is solid forever. I mean, spell check and all that stuff. So it's an interesting time. I graduated, went in the infantry, went to Airborne and Ranger School. Ranger School was one of the hardest things physically I'd ever done. 9 weeks of swamp and mountains and jumping up and down. When we graduated, we got a Ranger tab. They told us that the Ranger tab would keep you warm and dry and deflect bullets. And the only problem with it, it's too small. I went to Vietnam 2 tours as an infantryman, a rifle platoon leader the first tour, an infantry company commander the second tour. At that time, unlike Pastor, I was not, I thought I was a Christian. I was raised a Catholic, and when I got in the military, I started going to Protestant chapel. I was at least a churchgoer, and just before we were going into battle, on one occasion, I got the chaplain, and I shared with him that I felt I needed to be closer to God. Well, we talked for about 20 minutes, but I knew after 30 seconds he didn't know either. It was about 5 years later that my wife and I were invited to a Bible study, and we were able to get to know and commit our lives to God. So I went through combat for 2 years without having the Lord. He still blessed me, but I didn't know it. So if you know people in the service, don't be shy about sharing with them. They need that relationship with the Lord. Okay. One of the things that I am very strong about is thanking people who thank me for my service. But my response normally is, thank you for being the kind of person I'd want to protect. Our country is better off because of you and people like you who love our country and love the Lord. I've got this goofy feeling that there never was a country like the United States of America before it was formed. We are a constitutional republic. That was an unheard of thing. There's a couple others now, but they're very small countries. And when we took an oath of office, we didn't defend the country or the president or the. We took an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And I was reading in a bestseller, since God gave us this country, He expects us to be good stewards of it. It's our job to take care of this country, not His, not politicians, not that stuff. It's us. I taught American government at Grand Rapids Community College for 15 years. Let me give you a whole semester's worth of instruction in 12 seconds. Politics. Poly means many. Ticks are blood-sucking insects. So our job is to make sure there are no ticks up there. So how do you do that? Do you know anything about the people you voted for? Now, okay, on a typical election day, there's 60 people running for office, 60 positions, you know, from school board members and drain commissioners to county commissioners to city this, and I think they even have mayors that are good people, and congressmen and all those folks. How do you keep track of all of them? Well, the answer is, I think you can. For quite a while, I was very, very politically active after I retired, and I couldn't even name all the positions, much less keep track of who was there. But I could pick a few and pay attention to them and support them. Now, typically, though, when we elect someone to office, most of the time, it's a good person. Yeah, they can have values that are different than yours, but for the most part, they're people who do want to help the city, county, state, whatever. But particularly if you talk about people who are in Congress or state legislature, that sort of thing, let's say that you decided to run for the state Senate. I just make something up. And let's say I was a state senator from your party when you got elected. Typically, the party would offer me to you as a mentor if you wanted it. And of course you want a mentor. So after a while, you're talking to me about, well, because you're from this area and there's a bridge over the river that needs some kind of, so you want to get something, a bill passed to get it fixed. And you tell me about it. I say, whoa, hey, typically once a single item bill doesn't pass, they put it together with other similar bills and they pass that one. So let me introduce you to the other guys and gals who are putting together those kind of bills. And sure enough, they're there. Oh, but a couple of the things they're promoting are things you ran against. So now what do? Do you get your bill in and get it passed? Or do you stand up for the things you ran against? Well, the strongest muscle in your body is your rationalizer, because you use it all the time, right? I do. So how do we help them make the right choice? Well, if you take a half an hour or an hour once a week, pick five or six or three or whatever number of elected officials you want to keep track. You got kids in school, it should be the school board. Even if it's a Christian school, the school board. But pick five or six and email them or text them or snail mail or whatever you do. And you probably won't get that person, but you'll get their staff, and the staff will report, how are you doing on this? Or you said you were voting on this bill. How'd that come out? If you just did that once a week, all of a sudden, I'm that guy who's being tempted, but I'm getting communications from people in my district, some of whom I know, holding me accountable. Now it's easier for me to stay with my values and not become a tick. That makes my job harder now. I can't get that bill passed easily, but I'm not going to put it in something that includes things I ran against that violate my standards. This is the kind of thing that taking care of our country, yes, we have to pray, yes, we have to do a lot of things, but these elected officials work for us. We don't work for them. But if you had a big house and a big yard, and I ran a lawn mowing service, and you hired me to mow your lawn, would you ever notice if I did a good job mowing? If I did the edging and stuff right? Would you notice? Would you pay attention? Of course you would. Well, these congressmen, senators, elected officials, they work for us too. Are we checking to see if they're doing what they said they do? Are we checking to encourage them? When we see something, it's not just the negative. Indeed, more important is the positive side. Hey, I saw that you did this. Congratulations, man. I really appreciate you. That's the kind of things that we can do and encourage other people we can do to help keep our country in line with God's will. Are we perfect? Nope. But I got this understanding from my time with the Lord that what he wants is to have my heart right. I don't have to get all the details right. He can handle it. I don't think there's ever been a time when God turned to St. Peter and said, what are we going to do now? Look what he did. I think he can handle it. I think he knows what we're going to do. But we have to do what we can do. Can you do everything? Of course not. But can you encourage other people to get involved at some level? You know, if you got 5 kids at home, you probably don't have a lot of time to sit around and send emails to people. Okay, and if you do, it should be the school board member. But the rest of us, I noticed a few of us around here are over 50. Getting mature, how's that? God has given us this wonderful country, and it's our responsibility to do the best we can, all the different ways that there are things we can do. Certainly being part of an active church is a big thing we can do. Prayer is important, but you can put feet to your prayers to work to implement things. So are we grateful that we can be in a church where God is glorified, God is preached, people are growing in understanding of serving him? Yes, indeed. And we need to support that church because it needs to go on, because this is where the next generation learns it too. But when you see something going along that's a little goofy in politics, I point my finger at him, 3 fingers pointing back at me, saying, what have I done? So thank you that you're in support of our country and supporting our veterans. We do need to support our veterans. We do need to be the good citizens that help make this country better. And in conclusion, I contend that we are all serving in the army of God together. In the army of God, there's only 2 ranks, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and private. So you don't have to wonder what your rank is or who you outrank. But you do know who you serve, and we need to serve our God, love our God, and do the best we can. What I try to do is get myself in line with what I believe he wants me to do each day. I'm far from perfect at it, but I am getting better. By the time I get old, well, I guess I'm over 80, so I guess maybe I'm already there. But thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to share with you. Thank you for loving our country. Thank you for honoring veterans. God bless you.
Thank you very much, Colonel. Appreciate your being here and sharing us those thoughts. Very, very interesting, and God bless you too. Another person that I got to recognize who probably spent the most time putting this all together, putting all the music together, telling me what to say and what not to say, that was my wife, Marion. This page is full, and that took a lot of work and a lot of time, and we just appreciate that so much. We're nearing the end of the program. We're going to sing another song, and then we're going to honor those who have paid this supreme sacrifice. But on the table here, you see a photograph, and that photograph is of Leroy Popma. And that happens to be the brother of Levin Metering. She's down here in the front row, and he not only lost his life in the service, but he was buried on a Memorial Day weekend 67 years ago this week. He was buried on Memorial Day weekend after they had shipped him home. And so we remember not only him, but we remember all those who paid the supreme sacrifice. At this time, turn in your books to number 799, America the Beautiful, and we will sing those couple verses together. 799.
A beautiful thing forever.
wonderful, wonderful singing. At this time, I would like you all to arise, remain standing before as they bring the wreath down and to honor all those who have gone on before us and those who have paid the supreme sacrifice, brothers, fathers, and uncles, cousins, and all those. And so after the wreath is brought down, then we will have the taps. Everyone will stand, and if you are a veteran or an Army person, you have the right to salute as we play the taps. Jay, bring everyone standing, please. Close our program tonight. We're going to sing the Lord's Prayer together. You are dismissed, and thank you for coming, and there's refreshments in the basement.
This brings to a close this moving Memorial Day Sunday program from 8th Reformed Church. We would like to thank Jethro FM for graciously allowing us to broadcast our service. We hope you have enjoyed your time spent with us and that you will have a meaningful holiday tomorrow.